Hello everyone. Welcome to first episode, or since this is a computer science related podcast, it could also be episode zero of our show. So here's my friend Tracy and I. We're going to just do this recording as close to our regular startup weekly standing meeting as possible. So we'll just be chatting with each other about interesting news that's happening in the AI world, and for example, some interesting papers in the academic research fields, or a really exciting new product launch. So before we dive deep into the exciting news, maybe Tracy, you can just give a quick self-introduction here.
Hi everyone, I'm Tracy Chen. I'm a computer science PhD student at the University of Maryland. My research is about human-AI interaction. So basically, I develop user interfaces for large language models. And previously, I had interned at Adobe Research and had some publications and patents. So Roger and I met on YC co-founder match. So we are trying to brainstorm some startup ideas. And we also try to broadcast the journey along the way. And hopefully you'll enjoy our conversations.
Yeah, sounds good. My name is Roger. For those subscribed to the main channel, you probably already know some of my stories. For those new to the individual podcast channel, so I actually studied mechanical aerospace engineering for both my undergrad and PhD, mostly research on underwater robot and related physics. But since graduation, I've been pivoted to more internet-related adventures, but also most recently, also kind of doing some research on smart and electric vehicles during my free time. So, but this channel and this series will be mostly focusing on AI-related stuff. So let's just maybe start with our first AI news here. Do you have anything interesting to share, Tracy?
Not really. I just try to wait for Apple Vision Pro launch. And while waiting for that, it reminded me that several years ago, I got an Oculus VR headset. And I had a really hard time using that because I'm wearing glasses. And it turned out many VR headsets, at least at that time, they are not designed for people like me. So it's pretty painful when I try to wear both my glasses and also the VR headset. So I did some search and I want to know if like Apple had done anything for our like glasses wearers, and it turned out yes. So they collaborated with this. It's a German optics manufacturer. And so if you have some prescriptions, you can order your optical inserts on their website. So you don't need to wear your glasses. And also I made a YouTube video on that. So do you want me to share my screen?
Yeah, sure, please.
Okay, so can you see my screen?
Yep, so for those listening to the audio version only, we'll also share the YouTube links in the show notes later, so you can click on those if you are just listening to the audio only version. Yeah, please maybe just play a clip of this. Yeah.
So I will just go over some keyframes. So the title is called How to Use Apple Vision Pro If You Don't Have a 2020 Vision. And there are three conditions. One is that if you wear eyeglasses like me. And the second one is that if you wear contact lenses. And the third one, if you have other vision conditions. So if you wear eyeglasses, then you need to go to this website. And there are two types of eyeglasses you can order. One is for prescription and the other is for readers. It does not work for all the ranges, so you need to check if your prescription falls into the range. And the second part is the contact lenses. So if you wear soft lenses, then you are good to go. But if you wear hard lenses or cosmetic ones, like those colorful contact lenses, then those two are not supported. And I'm afraid you have to go back to the previous step and order some optical inserts from this website. And the third one is that if you have other conditions, like if you have some eye movement issues, I think Apple Vision Pro relies heavily on eye tracking techniques. So in other kinds of conditions, you need to use their accessibility features. So you can use your wrist, head, like index fingers or voice to navigate, not by your eyes. Yeah, so I think this is pretty cool. I look forward to using it, perhaps in the store first. So what do you think, Roger?
This is very interesting. Yeah, I have some thoughts on this as well. Yeah, first of all, thanks for sharing a very cool video. Definitely check this out on the YouTube links. Yeah, I remember I got the Oculus Quest 2. I think that was probably the most popular, like widely sold out VR headset in the last couple of years. Yeah, like almost like everyone into tech I know has got one of those. Yeah, because I also wear like glasses. You can probably tell that from the video later. So yeah, I found it's pretty difficult to like first put my head into the headset, and later on like the glasses, like it starts to, you know, like slip a little bit because you're doing those like movements, and it's pretty hard to adjust because it's like fully like embraced by the VR headset, so you have to like take the headset out and adjust the glasses. Yeah, I like the Apple approach because I know that they have those prescribed lens that you have to order ahead, so probably need to do a test and then have those like pre-made for your Vision Pro, so you can just like wear the Vision Pro with prescription lenses inside without your like older glasses. So yeah, I think that's a cool approach. By the way, I think it's available February 2nd in most like Apple stores here in the United States. I would definitely go check it out. I talked to the I think one of the cool Apple stores in the heart of like Washington DC, the old like Carnegie Library, they convert that into an Apple store.
I really like that Apple store. It's like a giant Asian building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty cool place. Yeah, and they confirmed that they will have their space ready for the Vision Pro demo, I think. Yeah, no need to like sign up in advance. You just need to go there like first come, first serve. So yeah, hopefully, yeah, it'll be ready in like less than 2 weeks. So for our next episode, hopefully we'll have some interesting hands-on experience to share with you. Yeah, so that's our first news. Do you want to do the second news, follow that?
Yeah, so the second news is actually not like global news. It's my personal news. So I submitted to a conference several months ago and finally it's accepted. So I'm pretty happy. And I did some research. Let me start to share my screen. Can you see my screen?
Wow, that's awesome news. Yeah, congratulations. Yeah, for those of you only listening, we also have the abstract or the paper link attached in the show notes later on. But yeah, maybe tell us a little bit more about this conference. I actually heard about it, so I know it's a pretty prestigious conference. Yeah, so tell us more, maybe.
Okay, yeah, so the conference is called CHI, the CHI, and it's the premier conference in human-computer interaction. I think this year they have received perhaps more than 4,000 papers, and they accept about 26%. So that's the typical number for any top tier computer science conferences, like middle 20s. So I noticed that they have some company sponsors. So for this year, they have four sponsors. The champion sponsor is Apple, and other companies also contributing, Adobe, Autodesk, and Microsoft. So I asked myself a question like, what companies are sponsoring this conference? Because they could be my potential employees in the future, or potential competitors in the future if I have my startup. So this conference is pretty, has a very long history, like 30, 40 years. So I manually go to the conference website of each year and collect the sponsor information and then create a data visualization. Because some conference websites like before 2000, they were too outdated and they're already gone. I tried to use the Wayback Machine to retrieve the data. And the cutoff is 2000. So I have all this sponsor information since 2000. And as you can see that there are four types of sponsors: hero, champions, contributors, and friends. So if you are a hero sponsor, it means you give the most money. And if you're friends, you give the least money. So I plot them as a bar chart. And you can see that actually 2000 has the most sponsors. Why? I think it might be because of the internet bubble, the dot-com bubble. And at that time, many companies said, okay, human computer interaction conference, that's pretty cool. We have this extra money so we can sponsor the conference. And then in some years, the situation becomes pretty bad. Like 2008, like 2017, not sure what happened. And in recent years, it becomes even worse. So I think we have most sponsor in 2021. I remember in that year, tech is also over hiring a lot of people. And followed by that, we have massive tech layoffs. So this year we only have four sponsors. It's actually the lowest among all those years. So really hopes the market could become better in the next few years. And I also made another data visualization. So I want to ask, like, which companies are sponsoring? It turned out the most consistent one is Microsoft. I think it also aligns with our perception because in the early 2000s, Microsoft has Windows and this Office software. And now they have OpenAI. So It supports our conference consistently, and followed by Google and NSF. I think one thing surprised me is that Yahoo, I saw this company is already gone, but it's still supporting our conference. I don't know what happened to this company.
Interesting. I thought, for the last few years, they've been like, I think, just being like sold and bought by some like probably mid-sized internet companies like I remember like SoftBank or some other companies, but couldn't remember. But yeah, it seems like now they are just a small to mid-sized internet company, but they're not going to like develop anymore, but probably they won't like die in the near future. So yeah.
Have you ever used any Yahoo products?
Me personally haven't used the Yahoo like US one or the English one in the last few years, but I know like Yahoo Japan is like still one of the top most viewed websites in Japan internet. I think probably Japanese like internet users, they just really like this catalog styled internet service that you can just have one page and you click on the links you want to go. They also have a similar style like shopping websites for their like internet e-commerce providers. So yeah, but I don't know if Yahoo Japan is still like closely related to the Yahoo US at all right now. So, but good news is I guess Yahoo is still alive.
Okay. Yeah, so in my data visualization, I also have a slider. So you can change the range of the year. So if I just look at like 2000 to 2008, mm-hmm. and you can see this sponsor like Nokia. Have you ever had a phone from this company?
Yes, I had one of the older models, like the black and white like screen models. I haven't had any newer models, but I know they were super popular like over like 15 years ago. I'm curious, does like BlackBerry make the list at all? Because my first smartphone was actually a BlackBerry phone.
No, I don't think I saw BlackBerry, but I saw Nokia and Motorola.
I see.
Do you remember what happened to Motorola? I think it was sold to Google once.
They were sold to Google, and now I believe they are a subsidiary branch of Lenovo. So Lenovo and Motorola like co-develop Android smartphones right now. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Lenovo, it reminds me of those Chinese companies. So it turned out only three Chinese companies have sponsored Kai, and they are all back in 2018 and 19. So I think they are Alibaba, and Baidu, and Huawei. Yeah, so those are three Chinese companies that have contributed to Kai. But after that, no Chinese companies. I think during that time, it was also the peak of those Chinese stocks at Nasdaq, and then the rest is history.
Wow, yeah, this is very interesting. Yeah, it seems like this is probably like the money to sponsor this like goes into their like marketing budget. So usually those are the first to cut if your like stock price starts to get low or your company just doesn't like perform that well in terms of revenue. Yeah, marketing budget is usually one of the first to cut. So that
Yeah, kind of makes sense. I agree. Yeah, so for the entire thing, I also made a video in Chinese. I can share the link with you later. It's on Bilibili.
Yeah, looks pretty cool.
Yeah, so how about you? What news do you want to share?
Yeah, I guess before we transition to the Chinese news part, I just have one tiny news. Like, I don't have that much prepared. I just went to the DC Auto Show this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So I did take some like cool photos. So yeah, we'll try post some of these photos in the show notes later on if you wanna take a look. Yeah, I can just share several quick thoughts, and Tracy, if any feedback or questions, we can just discuss here a little bit. First thing I found is it just seems like, you know, a lot of people are talking about like right now, China and the rest of the world are maybe I don't know, the time depends on like source, where the sources come from, but it could be lagging either like 6 months or maybe 3 years from the US and probably like UK. So yeah, China and the rest of the world is lagging in terms of AI development. But from what I see, it seems like, you know, US and some other big car manufacturers, it seems to be maybe lagging behind in terms of EV, electric vehicle design and development from China, probably in the same extent. So that was just an interesting observation I got. But maybe not for Tesla. I think Tesla right now, it's hard to describe like what country it really belongs to, because it spreads its like manufacturing, design and sales like across several big countries and markets, and it's going to expand furthermore. So yeah, if we just exclude like Tesla, then all the other big manufacturers are definitely lagging behind China in terms of like EV technology. Yeah, maybe I feel like the trend for the next couple of years is going to be maybe all the new vehicles in China are going to get better and better AI technology, because they are trying to, you know, right now develop their own AI chips and big models. At the same time, I think the US is also going to catch up with better vehicles to equip them with their current like mature AI chips, like the NVIDIA self-driving Orin chips and other technology. So that was just my observation. It seems like there's going to be a big market for AI and vehicle combined in the next 10 years. So yeah, that was just my thoughts.
Could you please talk about like specific cars you have seen on the auto show? Like, are they from China? Like BYD or...
So as some of you may have known that, you know, most like Chinese manufacturers, their cars cannot enter the US market due to legislation.
Okay.
I think the only semi-Chinese car I've seen is Volvo. I think the model, if I remember correctly, it's EX90. So it's like a flagship SUV, all electric car. Volvo, it was bought by a Chinese car manufacturer called Geely, like probably over 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
So that's probably arguably the one of the best EV on display there in the auto show. Besides that car, some other cars I really like are from the Korean manufacturers, like Hyundai and Kia. Well, they are basically belong to the same group. So so Kia Ioniq 5, Hyundai Ioniq 5 or Kia EV6, they're basically the same platform but with different branding and shells. So those two, I actually checked the EV sales ranking from last 2 years. So besides Tesla and some US manufacturers like Ford and GM, the Korean manufacturers, they have the most popular EV models in the US market. That was pretty surprising to me, because you barely even heard about them now in the Chinese market, but in the US they seem to be very popular and doing pretty well. And you know that Korean, they are actually really embracing the future technology, like Samsung. You probably heard about their newly released phone, the Galaxy S24 Ultra. They are doing some close collaboration with Google. So they have the Google Gemini model and surrounding functions all over their smartphone operating system now. So yeah, I think Korea manufacturers, whether it's, you know, auto or smartphone manufacturers, they're going to be also a huge player in the next decade in terms of AI-enabled hardware technology.
Oh, when you mentioned Samsung, I thought you were going to talk about Samsung is making a car or something. Do they?
Oh, Samsung? I haven't heard any news there, but I know another big electronics company, Sony, they actually have a joint venture with Honda, one of the biggest Japanese car manufacturers. I think they're doing fairly well in almost all, like 200 countries now. So yeah, they have a joint venture and they're going to release a car in late 2025 or early 2026. So yeah, that car probably also has all the AI technology and all over the car. So, and yeah, that looks like one of the most like futuristic looking car. Let's see if I can just quickly share a picture here.
Yeah, have you tried to drive those cars?
The Sony Honda one isn't on display, but I took a test ride with the Hyundai Ioniq 5. That was a pretty good riding car. Yeah, I think most people agree it's like better than the current Tesla Model 3s and Model Ys.
Yeah, so during Christmas, I went to California and I took several rides with Tesla Model 3, and I feel quite dizzy. Like, I don't know why. It's because EV is so quiet or somehow. I just feel dizzy. Do you feel that dizziness?
Got it. Yeah, I think the dizzy is mostly coming from like the braking or the deceleration, because they have this thing with all the newer EVs that, because, you know, their wheels are now connected to like motors.
Okay.
So instead of having just like a traditional brake to really like clamp it down, so you still have this like cruising period, and now they can just control the braking behavior also through the DC motor. I think through that way, like, you can kind of get some of the kinetic energy back into the electric system to, you know, save some electricity to increase the range. So that's basically the main reason why the braking behavior is now very like sudden and weird compared to a traditional combustion engine car. I think most EVs do allow you to turn that down or turn it totally off to make it more like a traditional car. So I know, I think most of people would do that because, yeah, they are not used to this newer behavior from the EVs.
Okay, so which car do you plan to buy after the auto show?
That's a good question. For me, actually, I did take a look at most of the interiors of the cars. I know the trend right now in the Chinese market is they are trying to have bigger and bigger like screens in the front.
Okay.
I think Tesla probably started that trend, but all the Chinese manufacturers are trying to like one up them. But also there's another different trend where they're just trying to have two very thin and flat screens on the where the console used to be. So for example, the Sony Honda car just showed, and some other manufacturers like GM or the Korean ones, they are trying to go with this more sleek design. I actually preferred those because they are like big enough to show all the important driving information, and they are perfect size even if you still want to watch a movie or something. And
watch a movie in like, the car?
Yeah, most people I think prefer to do that now. And I feel like it's less intrusive, and also it's like where the console used to be, so you don't have to like look down at the large screen when you're driving, a little bit safer as well. So yeah, for my next car, if I really had to pick, I'll probably go with like a GM or like a Korean like electric vehicle, just simply because I like the screen design better. Yeah.
I see. So do they support autonomous driving?
Most cars still don't. I think they just have the same level of like cruise control and lane control as a traditional vehicle. I think Tesla is the only one in the US with like FSD. Yeah.
And it's a subscription-based service.
Yeah. Too bad.
Okay, sounds good.